From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The wildfires in Los Angeles are on pace to rival the deadliest and most destructive in state history. Although containment could still be weeks away, both the Palisades and Eaton fires are already among the top five most destructive in California history. And at a press conference this morning, dozens of people remain missing. We have been here too many times before. Of the top 20 most destructive wildfires in state history, 15 have been within the past decade. And rebuilding, combined with the continued threat of extreme fire behavior, is straining the home and property insurance market. It's an ongoing conversation that we are having on Insight. Today, joining us is Dave Jones. He was the California Insurance Commissioner from 2011 to 2019 and is now the director of the Climate Risk Initiative Center at UC Berkeley School of Law. We'll discuss potential rate increases, how this impacts California's FAIR plan, which is a last resort for many property owners, as well as what can be done in the long term to make insurance affordable and available across the country. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Vicky, although sadly, under very, very tragic circumstances.
Yeah, under dire circumstances, absolutely. Thousands of home and property owners are now thrust into what is a stressful and complicated road of picking up the pieces, and that involves disaster assistance and insurance companies. Many have never really thought of a California insurance commissioner before, other than maybe checking a name on the ballot. It is an elected position. What is the role of the state insurance commissioner in this moment for the homes and the people in Southern California?
So the role is to assist the victims recover what they're entitled to from their insurance policies, and to also make sure that law enforcement resources the department has are available to deter fraudsters who typically flood disaster zones like this, and then also to do everything possible to hold the insurance companies to the commitment they made last year, where companies said if they were given a number of different regulatory changes, they would keep writing insurance in California. And so one thing we know is going to happen is that rates are going to go up substantially. That was already going to occur before the fires. Now it's going to go up even more due to the fires. But notwithstanding the horrific scope of these fires, the insurers last year, when they asked for these regulatory changes, had sophisticated models that said that really it was a question of when, not if, that we would get hit with a catastrophic fire. And at the same time, they said they would keep writing insurance if they got the regulatory changes. They got the regulatory changes, so they should keep writing insurance. So another aspect of the role of insurance commissioner will be to do everything conceivable to keep insurers writing insurance in the state of California.
When it comes to the authority that a California insurance commissioner has, where is the position limited?
Well, it's limited to rates, and also to overseeing a set of laws and regulations which govern how claims are handled. And it also, the authority also includes the ability to investigate fraud and actually work with district attorneys and the attorney general to bring cases involving fraud. And then the authority also extends to financial regulation, making sure the insurance companies have adequate reserves to pay claims. And so one aspect of California's strong insurance regulation is that the insurance companies that are going to get hit hard by losses, the projections are as much as $20 billion, which exceeds the campfire losses by at least $5 billion. The insurance companies, thanks to California's strong insurance regulations, will have adequate reserves to pay claims. And they will not go insolvent the way that 10 insurance companies did in the wake of the hurricanes in Florida, because Florida has taken a very hands-off deregulatory approach. California insurance regulation and the insurance commissioner have authority to make sure the companies have adequate reserves. They will have adequate reserves and claims will be paid. The other thing that victims should do is most home insurance policies in California have a coverage to cover people's immediate out-of-pocket expenses. So people should immediately contact their agent, contact their broker, contact their insurance company, and start to get that money flowing to cover their motel costs, their restaurant costs, their clothing, whatever they need to survive right now. And California has strong laws in this regard that require the insurers to start getting that money flowing without nitpicking to make sure that, you know, every receipt and every charge associated with these immediate necessities is accounted for. So those are some of the roles of the insurance commissioner.
Your time as insurance commissioner coincides with some of the most destructive wildfires in state history, several of which happened back to back in the years of 2017 and 2018. Some ignited on the same day, the Woolsey Fire and the Camp Fire in November of 2018. The rate of this wildfire destruction is unprecedented for California. Can you take us back to the conversations that you were having with insurers during this period? Because these wildfires have continued even after your time as commissioner.
You're right, and you've been covering this story for some time. Sadly, what's going on is we're not doing enough fast enough to transition from fossil fuels and greenhouse gas emitting industries. So scientists tell us that global temperatures are going to continue to rise. Last year we had the hottest year on record. The year before that we had the hottest year on record. We keep breaking records because we're not doing enough to transition from fossil fuels. And that global temperature rise is contributing to more extreme and severe weather-related events. Wildfires in California, but across the United States, hurricanes, extreme heat, drought, river flooding, wind, atmospheric rivers, severe convective storms, and that's just a partial list. So that's killing more people, injuring more people, damaging more homes, destroying more homes, and causing insurance companies to have to pay out more. The way that insurance companies respond to that is by raising price and decreasing the writing of insurance. And that's happening in at least 18 states across the country with different levels of acuity. Worst in the Gulf and Atlantic states like Florida and Louisiana, slightly less worse in California, a lot less worse in the Midwest, say, but no place is immune to this phenomenon. And that began to happen, we started seeing it happen about 10 years ago. It's only accelerated in the last 10 years as climate change gets worse. So we can talk about some of the things that can be done in terms of insurance regulation to try to make insurance more available. Yeah. But fundamentally, that's going to get outrun by climate change in the long run. And so we are really continuing to march steadily towards an uninsurable future in this country and elsewhere in the United States, because we're not doing enough to address the root cause, which is fossil fuel emissions and greenhouse gas emissions.
And we're going to get to solutions in just a moment, because it can feel like a hopeless situation that many property owners are in. When you are thrust into this as a victim of a wildfire or a natural disaster, being dropped by an insurer or just fighting for coverage in the aftermath of destruction is devastating. From your vantage point, though, since you do talk to insurance companies, can you understand the challenges that this market is facing? You mentioned that the estimated losses for these two wildfires in Los Angeles are outpacing the Camp Fire in 2018. And why is there a realm where these actions may be justifiable to drop someone from their insurance policy?
Well, it is the case that insurers are suffering increasingly larger and larger losses from climate change. And so they are businesses, they're rational economic actors, and what they do is they raise price and they decrease their exposure to those losses. And that's not just the case in California, that's across the United States. Insurers have the right to decide whether to write or renew insurance. Now, because of that situation, and because more of that's happening, 35 states have enacted laws creating insurers of last resort to provide insurance for those people who have been dropped by their private insurer. They're called FAIR plans, Fair Access to Insurance Requirements. And the way they work is they're not taxpayer funded. They're not a state agency. They're also not an insurance company. They're a state mandated association of all the insurance companies. And basically, the FAIR plans function like this. The states basically say, look, insurance company, you get to decide who to write insurance for and whether or not to write insurance. We're not going to just allow you to throw people into the void. We're going to have this thing called the FAIR plan that you're going to participate in that will write insurance for people that can't find it. Now, the FAIR plan has to have reserves, but it's not required to have the same level of reserves as an insurance company because it's insuring the riskiest risks. And so if you also had to have reserves the level of an insurance company, no one could afford it. So instead, they have to have enough reserves to cover a typical year. But if there's a catastrophe like the one that has occurred in L.A., then the structure is the FAIR plan can assess all the member insurance companies based on their relative market share, which is a way of keeping the private insurer's skin in the game. They can't just write the risks that are never going to have a claim, shove everybody in the FAIR plan, and not have any responsibility. That rule changed last year in California to, instead of all the insurers being assessed, if the FAIR plan here runs out of money, the first billion comes from all the insurers, But above that, all policyholders in the state could be assessed. And we're not there yet. The FAIR Plan says it has enough money to cover the LA fires, but we could be at a place where the FAIR Plan has to invoke that assessment. And that would mean, in addition to increased costs of your own insurance, you could get hit with a bill to help the FAIR Plan cover its losses. And that would be a seminal moment in California, because that's never happened before.
And that would affect all property owners in the state. Everyone would be shouldering this. When it comes to the FAIR Plan, over the years, talking to homeowners and property owners that are part of the FAIR Plan, they have expressed, a lot of them, that their costs have gone up. It's almost doubled, or the cost of the FAIR Plan has even spiked to several thousand dollars, sometimes over $10,000 a year. Is it worth it to have that fire insurance if you are shouldering almost double the cost or more than double the cost in just a couple of years?
Yes, it's absolutely essential that you buy insurance. And if you can't get it from a private insurer or from what's called the surplus lines market, which is the unregulated insurance market, then you should get it from the FAIR Plan, because the risk keeps growing. The likelihood that your home might be destroyed by a catastrophic event keeps growing. And for most people, that's their biggest asset, into which they have all of their hopes and dreams and livelihood connected. Now, I do think, though, that to help FAIR Plans out, not just California's FAIR Plans, but all 35 states' FAIR Plans, we ought to have a new program enacted of federal reinsurance for FAIR Plans. FAIR Plans have to go out and buy reinsurance. What's reinsurance? Insurance is insurance for insurance companies. Insurance companies buy insurance. It's called reinsurance. It's very expensive because the big global reinsurers are seeing their global losses rise from climate change, so they're increasing their prices. So one way we could help make FAIR Plan insurance more affordable, as more people are pushed onto FAIR Plans because of climate change, is have federal reinsurance, which would be nonprofit reinsurance for the FAIR Plans. The other thing I think we ought to do is have a federal or state program of premium assistance, which would be means tested for low-income households on a sliding scale, so that people that are on fixed incomes, people that are low income, get some assistance to afford the FAIR Plan insurance. And we've done exactly that with the Affordable Care Act, with the health benefit exchanges. So we have some well-established precedent for this sort of thing. But these are the sorts of things that I think we need to do to shore up the FAIR Plan, as the private market finds that it can't provide insurance even at the highest price, and as more people get pushed onto the FAIR Plan. But yes, you should get insurance, because if you don't, there's no federal program or state program that's going to help you rebuild your home. FEMA doesn't help you rebuild your home.
So that brings me to my next point. I mean, there's a national insurance program for flooding, and flooding can also devastate homes. One doesn't exist for wildfires. Could this be a viable option, or any conversations like that currently taking place?
Well, there are some calls to create a all-risk, all-disaster national insurance program for all catastrophic risks, wildfire, flood, drought, extreme heat, you name it. The problem that I see with that is that our history of these national insurance programs has not been good. If you look at the federal crop insurance program and the national flood insurance program, the politicians seem incapable of requiring that the insurance actually be priced based on risk. And because it's not priced adequately, then the taxpayers are asked to shovel $10 to $20 billion every 10 years to shore up the program. And the fact that, for example, the National Flood Insurance Program until recently was selling a flood insurance policy that's below what it needs to be set to reflect the risk, is that it sends signals that we should keep developing in areas that we know are going to flood, and actually incentivizes the development. So we're pushing more people and businesses into harm's way. It's also hugely regressive. So the 45% of Americans that are renters that don't get home insurance are paying through their federal taxes to subsidize flood insurance for the 55% of Americans that are homeowners. Whole host of different problems, right? So I think rather than standing up some NFIP on steroids to cover all risks, the better approach is more targeted federal assistance for the FAIR Plans, which states already have, which already work in concert with the private market, which, as I've described, keep the private market skin in the game. So federal help for those, I think, is a better policy approach than standing up some national scheme that will have all of the ills that have occurred with the National Flood Insurance Program and the Federal Crop Insurance Program.
Given that there are dozens of FAIR Plans across the country, California isn't alone in this. Do other states do it better? Do they have better FAIR Plans?
I think that the practice of the FAIR Plans is pretty much the same across the country. I mean, Florida and Louisiana, the insurers in those states went to those states' legislatures and convinced them to relieve the private insurers of being on the hook if the FAIR plan there has a shortfall. Instead, all policyholders are on the hook. And that just happened last year in California. Most still require the private insurers to be on the hook. And I think that's the better approach, right, to keep the private insurers' skin in the game. I do think that one other thing states could do, to the extent that they haven't, is allow FAIR plans to issue what are called catastrophe bonds or have access to innovative sources of capital like insurance-linked securities as a way to shore up their reserves and give them bonding capacity too, right? So if they have a catastrophic event, they can sell bonds pledged on future revenue streams. And then, as I've talked about, federal reinsurance and a premium subsidy program. But by and large, you know, they are what they are, and they're not magicians, and nor are private insurers, right? The risks are real. The risks are rising. The losses are getting bigger because of climate change. Now, there is something that private insurers could do to help with regard to climate change. Turns out U.S. insurers have invested over $500 billion in the fossil fuel industry. And it boggles the mind when you think about it. Why are private insurers allowed to invest $500 billion in the very industry, the fossil fuel industry, whose emissions are the principal driver of climate change, where climate change is making it increasingly possible for U.S. insurers to write insurance for real people and real businesses? So I think state legislatures and governors need to stand up and say enough is enough. Insurers, you need to transition out of your investments in fossil fuels. You need to transition out of writing insurance for fossil fuels as a part of this global effort to transition away from fossil fuels. You shouldn't be investing in the very thing that's making it impossible for you to write insurance for the people in our state.
When it comes to making insurance affordable and accessible across the country, here in California specifically, do you see that happening in the next, 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think there are things that have been done in California that will help in the short and midterm, like the regulations that were adopted last year in California, and based on which the insurers said they would continue writing insurance in California. And at that time, they knew that something like the LA wildfires could occur. So I don't think they should use that as a pretext not to write, but we'll see what they do. They may say, well, new ball game, we're not going to renew as much, we're not going to write as much. But these sorts of regulatory changes, while they can help in the short and midterm, are going to be overwhelmed and are being overwhelmed in many parts of the country by the rising risk and loss associated with climate change. And that's Florida. Florida has done everything that the insurers in California have asked for, and then some. They have rates 4 times the national average. They've created a taxpayer-funded reinsurance facility. They've eliminated third-party lawsuits against insurance companies. They have allowed probabilistic modeling rates. They allow reinsurance costs and rates. I mean, this is a partial list, right? And yet the national carriers are not writing in Florida because they've concluded that even at the highest prices, they can't make money writing in Florida. And so Florida's exhibit A for you can deregulate and allow insurers to charge as much as they can, but it's going to get outrun and is being outrun by the increased losses and risk from climate change. And that is why we are marching towards an uninsurable future. You can do some things in the short term and midterm to make things better, but unless we get at the root cause, which is our continued appetite for fossil fuels and greenhouse gas emitting industries, unless we transition from that, we are going to be in an uninsurable future. I mean, insurance is the canary in the coal mine, and the canary is just about dead.
Dave, thank you for taking the time and joining us.
Vicki, terrific. Thanks so much for covering it. Really appreciate it.
Dave Jones was the California Insurance Commissioner and is now the director of the Climate Risk Initiative Center at UC Berkeley School of Law. We've been talking about how the threat of extreme fire behavior is straining the home and property insurance market and what solutions are out there to make insurance affordable and available across the country. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.